Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Do is open your Bibles to Matthew 28. We'll get there in just one second. Amen. Matthew 28, I'm changing my world. Praise the Lord. So how about you tonight? Tonight will be the third lesson in a new series on evangelism and discipleship. Amen. And so tonight, as we look in Matthew 28, in just one moment and read this together, I want to give you the title of this message. Tonight it's going to be entitled, God's Pathway to Freedom. God's Pathway to Freedom. You know, we all want to be free. Praise God. Well, there's a particular way, or there's a pathway to freedom. And that means that if we're going to be free, there's going to be a path that we take. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. As you're there with me in Matthew 28 already, we're going to begin in verse 18, where Jesus said he came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then he goes on and says in verse 19, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, and then in verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So notice here, or in case, I'm just reminding us, maybe I should say it this way, that this is known as the Great Commission. Said a little differently, but very similar in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. For time's sake, we won't read there, but you know both are called what we would call the Great Commission. And what the Great Commission does is it actually reveals God's plan and Jesus' directive for his church, which is to win the lost and to make disciples. So these verses here that we just read, along with many others, would clearly illustrate the importance of both evangelism and discipleship. Both. Amen. And so when it says in verse 19 here of Matthew 28, go ye therefore, when it says go ye, what he's saying is go and make disciples. Isn't that right? And so in order to make disciples, we realize that it must first mean that we actually bring a person to Christ and get them saved. Isn't that right? So that's evangelism. But what we also understand is this. However, this also lets us know that once we get a person saved through evangelism, our job is not over. Amen. Jesus says he expects his church, and you're his church, I'm his church, expects his church to take that person who just got saved, that person who's just become a new believer, and make them a disciple for him. He expects that. That's just as much of a command as get them saved. It's just as much a command to make them a disciple. And it's important for us to realize how important this really is. So the point that I'm emphasizing here is that the church emphasis should be on both evangelism, getting the lost saved, and discipleship, making the lost disciples, moving them from being a convert or a believer into actually being a disciple of Jesus Christ, because they're two different things. Amen. You know, I'm going to make a statement. I'm never trying to really purposely offend anybody. I do try to shake our thinking up. Amen. You know, the truth is, when a person gets saved, let me say it like this. When I got saved, I really didn't know what I needed in my life. The truth is, when people get saved, they really do not know what they need, really need. But let me tell you something. You know who should? The church. The church should. No. And so, I didn't know. My greatest need after making Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life can be summed up in one word. And we need to learn that. It's called discipleship. It's called discipleship. It can be summed up in one word. What every person that's just got born again needs, first and foremost, if you want to put it in one word, call it discipleship. That's what they need most. And the truth is, most of us, I look back 39 years ago, I had no clue that's what I needed. I knew I was on my way to heaven, but that's all pretty much all that I knew. I knew I had peace, and I knew I was forgiven. I knew I was saved, and thank God I was. And that as wonderful as that is, I'm not discounting that. I really did not know what I needed, what my next step or steps would be, or what that would be. And but the truth is, someone did, and the church should, amen, and it's called discipleship. You know, when a person gets saved, many times they not only don't know what they need, they know what they want. They want, many times, relief. Most people will really want something that will help them in their crisis, and I get that. And most people want a quick fix. Amen. And I can tell you, when our mindset, because we don't know what we want, and we have problems, which we all have when we come to Christ. Amen. And many times, that's how we find Him. Not because out of a great problem, God, in His great mercy, sends people across our path, and we get intercepted, and we get searching. Amen. People are praying, and those skilled laborers are sent. And we come to Christ in a crisis or have a great need and really don't know what we really need. We know what we want, but the truth is, most people, if you told them that what you really need is discipleship, most of the people would not be interested in that because they really do not understand what discipleship was designed to do. But you will, and we do, because I'm teaching you this, and I'm sure you already do know much of this, but how many know it would be good that we are reminded? Amen. Even though discipleship doesn't sound like a person's answer, it is. I can tell you there's a lot of believers today that have been saved for a long time. And if I come to them and tell them, I say, what you really need is discipleship. They say, I can tell you what I really need. I need healing. I need this. I need prosperity. Well, what you really are saying is, the truth is, you may need that, but what you really need is summed up in one word. One word is called discipleship. But the discipleship, even though people don't necessarily think that's their answer, is their answer. Because teaching them, just like you and I are being taught or have been taught, teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded us is their answer. Come on. Let's go back to verse 19 in Matthew 28 again, and let's look at this. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, verse 20, teaching them, making disciples is all about teaching them to observe. That means to obey everything. One translation, teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you. So notice here that it is so important that this is really what people's answer is. It's being taught to obey what Jesus has told us to know and do. It's about having knowledge, proper knowledge. That's what God says to us, and obedience to that. It's what we know, believe, and act on of God's word is and always will be our answer. That's what it'll be. We want a quick fix. We just want things to go away. We just want something to change. But the scripture tells us how it is changed. by us knowing what God said and obeying what God, knowing, believing, and obeying what God says. Because once we hear, see, it's more to it than just knowing. It begins with knowing. That's how faith begins. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But faith comes by hearing, but faith does not work by hearing. It works by obeying, by doing the Word. And we have to be reminded of those things. We have to have them so settled in us that when people come and get saved, we're not willing. If we know them, and we have methods here of contacting those people and doing a limited amount of follow-up, but the truth is, this is why it's so important we talk about investing and inviting. Because those people that you invest and invite, you're to be that springboard and that voice to help them, because they are going to have questions. But also the way that you know you're going to help them is by sharing the Word of God, sharing things that are the truth and getting them to hear and understand it, but also getting them back to this place. Get them back to the feeding trough. Amen. It's a joint effort. It's a joint effort. In this, but regardless of it, this is why so many times discipleship never occurs to people that get saved, because they don't stick in around where they can be taught and trained in a local church. Amen. Now, the good news is, if you're in their life, you can help them. But in helping them and teaching them, if you're going to teach them to obey the Word, you get them back to a place they can be fed the Word. Yes, you can help them. I can tell you, there was people that Pastor Debbie and I remember Pastor Debbie and I, there was a couple of young ladies that had drug issues and different things come out of that. They got saved and started coming to church. And we knew one of them because we went to school with them. There's another one that we met. Pastor Debbie invited them once a month, I think it was, and invited them once a month and for a meal. I mean, how many know people will come get something to eat? Praise the Lord. And then she gave them the real meal, and she discipled them, okay? And she made it clear, just like I did to this one individual that I did the same thing to. She would make the meal for both of us. I'm sure that young man appreciated Pastor Debbie cooking for us, praise the Lord, instead of what I would have cooked, praise the Lord. Amen. But she did the same thing for that young man. But here's the thing that we always did. We always told them, now look, this ain't going to work if I can't get you to come back to church. Because you need more than this once a month thing that we're doing right here. As good as this is and the assignments we give you, after two or three times, if you're not willing to come to church, we're not going to meet with you. Because you just, listen, I'm going to shoot people the truth. I know what changed me, and I know what will change people. And we were honest with them. It says, yes, this is wonderful what we're doing. I know you appreciate it. It's good. But you need more than that. You need a pastor. You need a local church. You need a community of faith. And we drill that home. And if we could not get people to do that, they were not made disciples. And if we could not get people to do that, you know what they ended up doing? They ended up falling away. Now, I'm saying all of them were lost, but I'm just saying this, they never became disciples. If we could not get them to do both, they didn't become disciples. And the goal is to make disciples. Make no mistake about it. It's wonderful it is to get people saved. You know, I'm not discounting that. You know, we put a premium on that all the time. It is as important that they get saved, once they get saved, that we make them disciples. Come on. Praise God. And I'm talking about this because as we grow, we're going to need people that are going to be beyond the pastor and his staff that are helping people grow, encouraging them and pointing them in the right direction, and which would include back to a place where they can be fed on a week in and week out basis. To confront issues they're not willing to confront in their own life, or to confront issues they don't know where to look at. Listen, when you have how would it work for you is, you know, everybody likes babies, don't they? Everybody likes babies. Babies are cute. Babies are wonderful. I personally think they look cuter in the mama's arms because, what you know what I'm saying, after they start crying at least, amen, I can say, hello, mama, praise the Lord. No, they're darling and they're cute. Everybody likes babies. But see, a good parent doesn't just have a baby and say, well, we're going to set this baby aside. It'll be all right. It'll grow on its own. And now we're going to have another baby. Let's go have another baby. Everybody likes babies, but there's a responsibility of growing that baby up. Now, I'm bringing that over to the church world. Everybody likes babies. In other words, everybody likes getting people born again. But if we just said, now they're going to be all right. Now they got saved, they're on their way to heaven, and everything's going to be all right. Let's go get another one saved. It's right to get another one saved, but let's do the comparison. If we leave that baby, how many know that baby is not going to grow? And we're to care for that baby. Yes, help other people get saved. But what I'm saying is, God's word tells us that if we're going to do things right, we're going to make them a disciple. So which one is it? It's both. You do both. You get people saved and you disciple those that are getting saved. So it's important that we understand this. The truth is, discipleship is foundational to our lives in Christ. When I say foundational, it's what our lives are built on and by. Jesus is the foundation of that everything is built on, but this discipleship is foundational to our life. And we need to understand, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, the lack of discipleship is the main reason people aren't experiencing freedom, healing, prosperity, or deliverance they need in their lives. Because true discipleship is foundational and key to a successful Christian life. I've said this for years, you can't disciple sheep that don't stay in the fold. As much as I love each and every person, I'm smart enough to realize God is right and our way is wrong. And we got to do it God's way. You know, if you as a child, your mama said, okay, 6 o'clock at night, if you're going to eat, this is when supper. You can go play with Johnny down the road, but 6 o'clock, supper is served. And if you're not here, then not only will you not eat, I ain't cooking it for you later. It's put away and tough if you're not here. That may be tough love. But what I'm getting at is, if little Johnny doesn't show up at 6 o'clock and he shows up at 7 and he complains because there's no food or he's hungry, whose fault was it? Little Johnny, not mama. And see, in other words, what I'm saying is, if we have services and we don't come to be fed, then whose fault is it that we're not made disciples? Is it the pastors? Is it the churches? No, it's not. And it could be in part, but in reality, no, we have to come in order to that. You say, well, Pastor Chris, don't you think I should do a lot on my own? I think you should do the majority on your own. But that doesn't discount, listen, that I know people don't. And that don't discount that God said that we're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together, because you need a pastor and you need other believers to sharpen, to encourage, to inspire, to remind you, to build you up. So this is a joint effort, church. Amen. And the sooner we understand this, then it answers a lot of questions why people are believers, but they're not experiencing freedom, healing, prosperity. This was probably the number one reason why. Discipleship helps you learn how to appropriate. That means to receive for yourself. How to appropriate the promises and the power of God. It's wonderful that I can pray for you. You can pray for one another and be healed. The Bible tells us to do that. But did you know that's not the highest and the best? The highest and the best is we come and learn in a way which when we have a need, we can pray and believe for ourselves. And then we can help other people to get to that same place. When it's that, then everybody's not just dependent upon the pastor. Everybody's not just calling everybody and saying, well, the pastor needs to come to the hospital because my loved one is dying and they're going to go to hell if they die. What, you know, this is why I'm teaching you so you can go in the hospital room. Now, listen, I take it a privilege to go to the hospital room and pray for people to come to Christ. I've done that. Pastor Doug does that all the time. Listen, I'm not discounting that. We do that all the time. But I'm saying the highest and best is that we know how to do that. So that we're not pulling our, we're not just dependent on someone else to do what we should be trained to be able to do as the church. That's the highest and the best. I'm not discounting. I'm not saying that we shouldn't go. We shouldn't do that. And we don't. We do all the time. But the highest and the best is that if your loved one is dying, that you can go to them and lead them to the Lord. You say, well, they don't want to listen to me. Then that's when, I get that. That's when other laborers like your pastor or someone else can go. And I get that. That happens. But do you understand the principle I'm trying to impart to you? Amen. Hallelujah. So discipleship helps you learn how to receive for yourself the promises and the power of God. Once saved, discipleship is the answer to our life's greatest problems and needs. Because in discipleship, it's learning all about what God has said, Jesus has said, and teaching them to obey, how to practically apply that, to know what He said and how to apply it to their lives. That's what discipleship is. And this is why that is an answer in one word. And you understand that you can't, discipleship is an ongoing process. It's not something that is a one and done thing. You don't get it all in one sitting. You can't. This is why it's so important. It's an ongoing process. And this is why I say this: the local church is a school you go to have relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate till you die. Praise God. Hallelujah. So once saved, discipleship is the answer to our greatest problems and needs. However, on the other hand, this means the lack of discipleship is the problem and why many people remain defeated. Because they don't know what Jesus said, or they know it and don't believe it, or they don't know it and they can't apply it to their lives. They're not obeying it. You got to obey what He said in order to get His results. We know that. This is why I began this series on evangelism and discipleship. I began this series focused on the discipleship side of it. See, discipleship done properly is even the answer to evangelism, because true disciples are the ones that are going to evangelize. Did you get that? See, the reason I started with discipleship, because even on the discipleship side of it is so important, because discipleship is really even the answer to evangelism. Because the people that are going, I'm going to say it again, that truly evangelize are disciples. They know what God has said, and they go do it. And they help other people to do that. And one of it is to get people to come to Christ. So in the first two lessons, we addressed and answered the questions, why discipleship and what is a disciple? It would do well tonight for us to go over that list that defines what a disciple is. We will in another message probably, but not tonight for time's sake. And showing us really what true discipleship looks like is what this side of this series is about. And we need to have a correct picture of it. Because we need to make sure that we are that, or we're becoming that. Because you just don't, in one day get saved and you're a disciple. You can start becoming a disciple, but that's what, as far as as far as what most people should understand, they must do. That is what God wants us to do. Amen. Isn't that what he said to do? Then we should. And so we have to know what true discipleship looks like, because if we're not doing that, we make that adjustment. And if other people were trying to help have all these questions and you know, they blame it on everything else, and I don't understand why, then you got to understand their answer may not be a one and done thing. It's under discipleship. In other words, people have problems with finances, people have problems with health, people have problems with their family, but the truth is all of it can be helped through discipleship. But that's how it's going to be helped. That's what God said, and that's what God designed, and Jesus told us to do. Amen. So in showing us what true discipleship looked like last week, are you listening to me? Praise God. It's not casual. It's intentional. It takes commitment, loyalty, and faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, hello, disciple. Praise God. That didn't hurt you, did it? That should be a compliment. Praise God. But discipleship is the answer, because here's why. Because it's God's pathway to freedom. It's God's pathway to freedom. Understanding this helps answer a lot of questions that people have. Even we ourselves, it will answer a lot of questions if we're honest about it. Because, listen, just because you made Jesus the Lord of your life, as wonderful as that is, you're on your way to heaven. That's wonderful. I'm not discounting that. But just because we made Jesus the Lord of our life doesn't automatically make you a disciple. In other words, you can be saved, or you can be a believer and still not be a disciple, but you should be and you can be. So let's take a look at how we can be and why we should be. Amen. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32 again. Let's look here, because we're talking about God's pathway to freedom. And having to know that God's pathway to freedom is not a mystery. It's called discipleship. It's called discipleship. And sometimes we just got to be honest with people. Listen, honey, it ain't going to be a one and done thing. Okay? Now, I'm not saying it needs to be, it's a lifelong process of discipleship. Getting healed doesn't take 2 years. It takes you understanding what God has provided, believing it, and receiving it. Okay? So I'm not trying to say everything, it can't be changed quickly. I'm just saying there's a lot going on in our lives. And as far as God's concerned, even though salvation is instantaneous, discipleship is an ongoing process. Because we're going to have things that come in our lives that we're going to have to deal with. And we're going to have to learn how to deal with them according to the Word of God. Now look what here, God's pathway to freedom, discipleship. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him. So he's not talking about to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that was critical and didn't believe on him. The scripture actually says that these Jews that were with him here believed on him. Okay? And then here's what he said. He said this to them. If you continue, everybody say continue. Continue in my word, Jesus said, then are you my disciples. Then are you my disciples. Wow. So notice, what are we supposed, notice they believed, okay? So they were believers as far as they could be under the Old Testament. But he said, if they would continue in my word, they would become something. They would be what? My disciples. And he said, indeed. In other words, what does he mean indeed? In truth or in reality? He said, I'm telling you the truth about this. You cannot be a disciple until you continue in my word. Even if you're a believer, the progression is you start as a believer, but you believe on my word and that you become a disciple. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So here Jesus called a disciple one who continues in God's Word. So what does that look like? Have you ever thought about it? What does it look like to continue in God's Word? Let me give you two things that it really is. It is summed up in those two things. You continue to hear what Jesus is saying or God's Word says. If you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to continue in God's Word, you're going to have to continue to hear the Word of God. And then number two, you're going to have to continue to apply it or obey it. It's that simple. That's exactly, once again, what Matthew 28, verse 19 tells us, that we're to teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. So in other words, if you're going to teach, then people are going to hear something. And you teach them what? The Word to what? To obey, to do. So if we're going to be a disciples, then a disciple is one that continues in the Word. And listen, continuing in the Word means you're in the Word. So you can do that personally, but also means you're going to have to hear it, because it implies, according to the Scripture, that someone is included in this process of teaching. So you're hearing, not just what you want, but what you need. Now, you know what this has got to do. How many have small kids that if you let them, they'll eat Doritos all day? Doritos and Ho-Hos, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, junk food and that kind of stuff. But at some point, you know, parents wake up and realize that there is a problem with that. Whether health issues spring or just realize that, no, this is not good. No, you're gonna eat some things, what, that you don't want. I'm going to cook some things that you don't want because it's good for you. How many know that I'm going to cook some things that's good for you that you ain't going to necessarily want to hear? Praise the Lord. But it's good for you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. How many know the Word is always good for you? And not just the Word you want to hear. If it's the Word, it's good for you to hear. It's good. It's good. It's good. But the truth is, you're going to have to, a disciple is one who continues in the Word of God. They continue to hear it and continue to apply it or obey it. That's what a disciple does. So this is painting a picture of what a disciple is. This is why I say, hello, disciple. Because whether you know it or not, every time we come together, that's my assignment. One of my assignments is to teach you what God has said so that you can obey the Word. It's called discipleship. Now, if I said, you know, come and be discipled, then some people would say, well, you know, that's not that exciting. But you say, he's talking about healing. Well, I'm going to come up with that. He's talking about your needs being met. I'm talking about how to have better friends. I might come hear that. Praise God. How many know all of that is included in discipleship? The difference is that a pastor has to help you have the whole counsel of the Word of God. And one of the messages that in this, I'm sure we'll get to it before Jesus returns for His church. Maybe not. Maybe not. Could be. You know, maybe not. Praise God. That'll talk about how Paul met with all the leaders at Ephesus over there in, you know, a great revival that you can read about in the Bible in Acts chapter 19, the revival that happened there in the church of Ephesus. Then over in chapter 20, a little later, Paul calls for all the elders to come to meet him. And he begins to instruct them as pastors and leaders of the church. He said, I'm not going to be there with you, but I'm going to remind you that while I was with you, all the things that I did, and I did not fail to teach you the full counsel of the Word of God. That took time. And you understand that the Scripture lets us know they was there a full 2 years making disciples. Now, how many know that you can't, unless maybe you're meeting from sun up and sun down, get everything in? But I'm sure the Scripture talks about he spent hours with them daily making disciples. The point that I'm making is, it's my job to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So it's things that you like and things you don't like. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. Glory to be to God. So Jesus is showing us what true discipleship looks like. And it's a continual fellowship and obedience to Jesus and His teachings. When I think of discipleship, I think about fellowship because Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So it's a fellowship and obedience. It's a fellowship to Jesus and obedience to His teachings. Let's read John 8:31 in the New Living Translation. Let's read it there. It says that Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Wow. Remain faithful to my teachings. How many know you can't remain faithful to His teachings if you don't hear them? And how many know if you're not doing them, you're not remaining faithful to them? So He's defining for us. He's not condemning us. And I'm not condemning anyone in here. I'm telling us, my job is to help make you a disciple. I can't be a disciple for you. But I know how to make a disciple, and that's what we do. But in order to become one, He's telling us, even Himself as the Master. How many know that Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, couldn't make disciples that were not willing to become one? Don't think that He didn't know how to make followers. He knew how to make followers. Amen. And how many know the good news is, hopefully I have a time for Jesus' return to talk about some of the messes He had to clean up, because His disciples weren't perfect. I mean, they had all kinds of struggles. They just like every other person. But He did not make them a disciple. Listen, they gave their life to follow Jesus and to obey His teachings. Amen. And I'm looking at a group of disciples here tonight, talking to disciples online tonight. I'm helping us to identify so we stay, we be either become and becoming and staying in that place. Remain faithful to my teachings. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Notice verse 32, and back into King James Version, it says, and you shall know the truth. One translation says, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, you continue to hear His teachings and obey it. And then, if you've done verse 21, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, in other words, let me explain what this actually... Kenneth E. Wiese translation, I alluded to this last time. Verse 32, Kenneth E. Wiese translation says it like this. Do we have that? Praise God. Okay. Then Jesus was saying to the Jews who, he was a Greek scholar. You say, who's this guy? He's a Greek scholar, one of the leading Greek scholars in America. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But in the last century, he was a leading Greek scholar. Here it says, and Jesus said unto the Jews who, having believed on Him, were at that moment maintaining the attitude of faith. How many know you have to do that? Hallelujah. As for you, if you remain in my word, which is mine truly, my disciples you are. Now notice verse 32. It says, and you shall know the truth in an experiential way, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the truth that makes us free is the truth that we know in an experiential way, that we've actually experienced, as we lived. We did it by we applied it to our life. And we proved it out in our life. That's the truth that makes us free. It's not just knowing the truth. It's knowing and applying it. Because that's when we experience it. And it's the truth we have experienced. It's the truth we know in an experiential way. And you shall know the truth in an experiential way. He's saying if we will hear it and obey it, we will experience it. That's the best way to say it. If we will hear it, know it, obey it, we will experience it. And what will it produce? Freedom. Freedom. So this is telling us what we do with what we know is what makes us free. You do have to know it first, but you still have to do it. James 1:22, you could write that down, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, we can blame it on the devil, but if we know the truth and don't do it, we're self-deceived. Now, the scripture is very clear. Satan, who's the little g god of this world system, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he works to blind the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them and they believe. So he tries to keep us from the knowledge of the word of God, because with that knowledge comes faith. But once that comes, we still have to choose to believe it and act on it. That's how we are free. If we don't, then it says we're self-deceived. This is also telling us that you can remain a believer and not be free. Or you can become a true disciple and experience true freedom. That's exactly what this is telling us. I'm going to say it again. This is actually telling us you can remain a believer only and not be free, or you can become a true disciple and experience freedom in your life. The good news is all of us in this room probably tonight has and is experiencing some level of freedom in different areas. You have that, and that qualifies you as a disciple. That's good news. What you understand is you have to keep applying it in every area of our life. That's what discipleship is about, so that we can be free and help others be free. Where many people are is they're being made a disciple and becoming made set free. That's where most people are, because none of us have arrived. The point is you're a disciple, and to the level that you are, you're being set free in those areas that you know. But the point is, discipleship is the pathway to freedom. Do you see that? Remember, salvation makes us a believer, not disciples. Get it straight. I'm going to say it again. Salvation makes us a believer. It's wonderful. You are believers, who you are, but not a disciple. It doesn't make you a disciple automatically. Salvation is instant. Your spirit is changed. But discipleship is an ongoing process where which through the renewing of your mind and the control of your body, you allow what's true of God on the inside to be lived out through you on the outside. Discipleship is the ongoing process by where we are made true disciples, which produces freedom in our lives. This is why discipleship is God's pathway to freedom. So don't be deceived. When people come to you and say, I got this problem, I got that problem, I got this, what's their answer? One word, discipleship. That's meaning learning what God has said and then obeying it. Praise God. God is not trying to be mean. He's trying to give us our answer. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to give us our answer. Matter of fact, I'm not trying to give you the answer. I'm giving you the answer. It's the same answer I've had to confront me for 39 years. And it'll take you from where you are as a believer, just getting saved, to become a disciple and being made into who God wants you to be as a disciple, and experience freedom along the way in the things that you know and apply to your life. But how many know there's a lot of areas in your life? This is why you keep coming back. Be a repeat offender. It's all right. It's all right to be addicted to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory be to God, glory be to God. This is why discipleship is God's pathway to freedom, and there's no shortcuts. Hallelujah. I said there's no shortcuts. Amen. It takes time. Praise God. But how many know that God loves us enough to tell us this, And we should know it so that not only are we free, but we help other people be free. Why don't you stand to your feet tonight? Tonight, before we go, I had a few other things I was going to share, but I chose to do this. Stand to your feet tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hello, disciple." So you're going to find that not only are we to be disciples, but we're to be disciple makers. Amen. In other words, we're to know the truth enough to be able to share with others to help them to become a disciple. But we have to first be a disciple. That doesn't mean, listen to me, that doesn't mean that you have to know it all. It begins with just sharing what you do know. Share what you know that Jesus has done for you. Begin with your testimony. And then know enough of the Word of God or learn enough of the Word of God by coming that you can apply or take what God has done in His great plan of salvation and let people know who Jesus is, why He came, what He did, their need of Him, their way to Him, and He will be irresistible. Hallelujah. Somebody going to play for me tonight? I didn't call on nobody, but there you go. Oh, Ryan, you are a champion. Praise God. Don't stop. Hallelujah. So, you know, even as a disciple doesn't mean everything is perfect. Once again, I hope I actually get to the place one day in this series where I talk about all Jesus' wonderful disciples. He had wonderful disciples, but boy, they were a mess. And come on, read the Gospels. They had power struggles, jealousy, problems with unforgiveness. They had the same issues that you and I have. But you know what? Jesus didn't give up on them. Jesus loved them. But He knew that He couldn't change them. Listen, He couldn't change them if they didn't follow Him. They knew He couldn't change them if He couldn't get them to hear what He taught and couldn't get them to obey it. And just think about this, the master teacher, Jesus Himself, the Son of God, 3.5 years approximately, taught His disciples. Amen. And boy, they were a mess. They were even a mess when He left them. But He didn't leave them helpless or comfortless. He left them with the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'm going to leave another one, one just like me in every way, the Holy Spirit. He's going to continue to teach you. He's going to bring to your remembrance all things I've said unto you. He's going to show you things to come. And then He's going to lead and guide you into all truth." And so, He's here to help us in every way. We have that same wonderful Holy Spirit. And God is patient and loving. And He wants us to experience the best. The truth is, all of us have things that we go through that we need to win and experience freedom in, and that we need prayer for. I'm thankful that you pray for me. I need your prayers. Hallelujah. I have some wonderful saints come up to me and say, "Pastor, I've been praying for you." I said, "Thank God for it." Amen. Praise God. Said, I know you were fiery today, Pastor. I've been praying for you. I said, "Thank God. Keep up the prayers." Hallelujah. Well, we pray for you too. Amen. And it's important because you're in the highways and the byways every day. And it's not always easy. It's not always be easy to be a Christian, be a disciple. It's not always easy, but it's most definitely possible, and it's the most fulfilling and joyful thing that you can do. So with that being said, there's times that we have need of things, that we just need others. I want to show you how this is supposed to work. Tonight, something to be ashamed of, that you have needs. We all have needs and things we need to pray. But tonight, before we are dismissed, you're in the congregation tonight. If you have a personal need and you want prayer for that,